Our reading today will be found in Genesis chapter 25. It's in the service sheet that we have with us. Genesis 25, verses 19 to 26. Jacob and Esau. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramite from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramite. Verse 23. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The baby jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heels. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. God bless this reading.
Ronnie, thank you very much. Well, do just keep that to hand, because this morning we're starting a brand new series here in the Bible looking at the life of a man called Jacob. And today's reading from the Bible was all about his birth as a baby, but not just his birth as a baby, but also the birth of his brother Esau, because in fact, Jacob and Esau were twins. But before we get to their birth, our reading, if you look at the top, gives us the family tree. It tells us who Jacob and Esau's father and mother were and who their grandfather was. So let me just read again those opening verses. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel. And up on the screen, we've got a picture of what's called a family tree. I don't know if you can see that, to help us understand who is who in this family. You can see down at the bottom there's Jacob and his brother Esau. And then in the middle are their parents, Isaac and Rebekah. And then right at the top, their grandparents, Abraham and Sarah. And this bit of the Bible is telling us that when Isaac and Rebekah, that couple in the middle, got married, they couldn't have any children. And so Isaac prayed to God and he asked for his wife to have a baby. And we hear that in verse 21 of our reading. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And we find out right at the end of the reading that he'd been praying for a baby for 20 years before Jacob and Esau were born. Can you imagine that? Doing anything like that, praying for something for 20 years, waiting for God to answer that prayer for 20 years, not giving up on asking God for 20 years, something that you want so very much. I wonder how we would compare with that. I wonder how quickly we give up praying for something, even something we really, really, really matters to us. But to carry on praying for 20 years and not get angry with God and not give up on God or think he wasn't going to answer, but just keep trusting him, keep praying. And we read verse 21, "The Lord answered his prayer and his wife Rebekah became pregnant," and she became pregnant with twins. It's a bit like buses. She'd waited 20 years for a baby, and then along come two all at once. For 20 years, Rebekah couldn't have a baby. And no doubt, during those 20 years, she often asked God, "Why is this happening to me?" Why is this happening to me? Everyone else is having babies. Why is this happening to me? And now she's pregnant with twins. She asks the same question, but for a different reason. Have a look with me at what that reason is. Verse 22. The babies jostled each other within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Now, they didn't have ultrasound back in those days. But if they did, this is maybe what Rebecca might have seen. Here's a video of four-month-old twins from China having a bit of fun jostling inside their mother's womb. Let's see if we can watch that now. There we go. That's what we got. That's what we're going to get. I thought there might be a few more R's, like, ooh, ah. We won't watch it again. If you have twins inside you jostling around like that, that is a bit of a problem. But actually, God's answer to Rebecca, her question, suggests that she's got an even bigger problem than that. Have a look at what God says to her in verse 23. Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. Having two nations in your womb would certainly cause you to ask the question, why is this happening to me? But what God means by what he says is that the two twins, Jacob and Esau, would each be the founders of two different nations. Here's a map up on the screen. Jacob would be the founder of Israel, there in yellow. And Esau would be the founder of Edom, what we call today Jordan. But as well as explaining that very important thing about Rebekah's twins, that they would be the founders of two nations, God also tells them something very surprising about them. Have a look at the end of verse 23. One people will be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger. The elder will serve the younger. Now, normally with brothers and sisters, it's the other way around, isn't it? The eldest is the one who tells the younger one what to do. Normally, it's the oldest in a family who's the boss. Just put your hand up if you have a brother or a sister, whether you're old or young, if you have a brother or a sister. Okay. Now, keep your hand up if you let your younger brother or sister boss you around and tell you what to do. Oh, look at that. Everyone's put their hands down. That's not how we do it, is it? Normally, the oldest is in charge. And in life, it's the strongest, not the weakest, who's the boss. But not here. Not in this family. Not with Jacob and Esau. With them, it's the other way round. We might even say, compared to our families, it's the wrong way round. It's the wrong way round. Now, we're going to play a game called The Wrong Way Round. It's a game that I've made up. And it's a game that's based on a much better known and probably more liked game called Heads and Tails. So who knows how to play Heads and Tails? I need somebody who could come and play Heads or Tails for me. Jaunty, come on then. You've got your hand up in the air. And just so that we can enjoy you playing, here it is. I've got it all set up here. We're going to put Heads and Tails on the big screen. Now, if you just want to come and sort of kneel down here on the front step, just in front of the table. Now, what I'm going to do, just to make it a bit harder for you, is I am going to make you play this game upside down, okay? And the reason I'm going to do that is because if I make you play it upside down, oh, it's gone a bit green. Is there any reason why it's gone a bit green? Is it a loose connection, maybe? Is it green on both screens? Oh, one screen's dead. No. It went purple. Ah, there we go. We've got two screens and it's the right colour. Okay, here we go. So, everyone can see. Jonty, you've got some farmyard animals here. Heads and tails, they're all jumbled up. And I want you to sort them out, okay? Take your time. I know it's a difficult game. So we've got pig, chicken, sheep, and cow in your own time. There we go. Good start. Bold start. Yes. Okay, we got the pig and the sheep sorted out. Great. And now the cow, and we've just got one more to fit. Brilliant. Well done. Do you play a lot of heads and tails, John T? Not anymore. Okay, well done. Do you want to go and grab a seat? That's a real help. Now, that's John T playing heads and tails. But from what we're reading about this family, Jacob and Esau, the way God does things, he does it the wrong way around. So maybe if God was to play this game of heads and tails, it might end up something like maybe that. And that? How about that? What do we think? Do we like that? Yes. Are we happy with that? Yes. It's all the wrong way round. And some people get a bit twitchy about this sort of thing, and they really don't like things getting all muddled up and jumbled up in the wrong order, because everyone can see that it's wrong. But actually, that is what God does here with Jacob and Esau. Thank you very much. Let's get rid of our jumbled up, the wrong way round animals, because this is the moment we've all been waiting for. We couldn't have a story about twins being born without that moment, the twins being born. Now, don't worry, we're not going to do a live birth. There are limits to what you can pull off in church, or even what you're allowed to do, I would probably suggest. But we are going to meet the babies. Let's meet them first. In the Bible, look with me at verse 24. When the time came for her, that is Rebekah, to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. So the first to be born was Esau. Well, let's meet the first twin. Let's give a big St. Peter's welcome to Esau. Put your hands together for Esau. Thinking of the fear I had so long. So here is the first baby. You can see he is very, very hairy. Oh my goodness. All over. Hairy legs, hairy arms, hairy on top. And it's red hair, which is why his parents called him Esau, because the word Esau actually means hairy, which is a sort of an odd thing for a parent to do, isn't it? To name the child according to what they look like when they were born. I guess a lot of us are quite relieved that our parents didn't go down that route. I guess a lot of us would end up being called chubby or small. Our second daughter came out looking like a boxer, so we would have called Lizzie Boxer. She's very glad that we didn't do that. But here's hairy Esau, and it says he's red, and there he is. He's a red baby. Okay, let's meet his younger brother, shall we? Let's give a big St. Peter's welcome to Jacob. Now, oh dear, I think we better do this bit quite quickly. So, here is Jacob, and you can see, he is not hairy at all. He is very, very smooth. And in fact, a little bit later on in his life, he said these words to his mother, Rebekah. If you can see them, are they up on the screen? He said, "My brother Esau is a hairy man, but I am a smooth man." And there he is, a smooth man. He's got a smooth suit on, and he's looking very smooth indeed. But his name, Jacob, does not mean smooth, which it should mean if it was, the parents were being consistent here. It actually means grasping, because we're told in the Bible that when these two were born, Jacob was grasping Esau's heel. Okay, so we're going to enact that birth moment now, okay? Jacob, Esau, guys, if you could assume positions. There we go. That's more or less exactly what it would have looked like when... I know, it is quite frightening, isn't it? This is not particularly child-friendly. So what a wonderful couple of boys we've got here. You can imagine how proud Isaac and Jacob, Isaac and Rebecca would have been of them. And if they'd, can you just hold it there for a little moment longer? Okay, put your leg down, thank you. If they had birth announcement cards in those days, maybe they would have sent something out like this. Have we got the birth announcement card that Rebecca and Isaac would have sent? There we go. To announce the birth of this couple, proud parents. But you know, the strangest thing about these twins is not what they look like or what they were called, but the strangest thing is what God said about them. And we're going to think about that just for a moment now. But before we do that, why don't we say a big thank you to Jacob and to Esau. I think I saw a tail on the back of Esau there. I'm not quite sure about that. Now, when those two were born, God said these things. He said it would be the wrong way round. The older, Esau, would serve the younger. The weaker one, Jacob, would tell the stronger one what to do. It's not normally the way things are, but it is the way that God did it. And the question is, why? Why did he do it the wrong way round? Not the way we normally do it. And the answer that the Bible gives us to that question is a surprising answer. It's also an answer that some of us are going to find quite shocking. And I expect there will be just a few people here who will actually find it really annoying. Let's see what the answer to this question is. It's up on the screen. It comes from a different part of the Bible, from the New Testament. Let me read those words for us. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. What that's saying is that God did things the wrong way round with Jacob and Esau to show us that he's the one who gets to choose, not us. Before Jacob and Esau were even born, before they could do anything good or bad to influence God's decision or affect his choice, God chose Jacob and not Esau. He chose the younger one, the weaker one, over the stronger one, the older one, the one that we would have chosen. Because that's how God does things. Differently to us, different to the way we think things should be done. Is that unfair or unjust of him to do it like that? Well, the Bible says not at all. Look at what it says, what God says to Moses, right at the end of those words on the screen. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. In other words, when it comes to mercy, forgiving people, and compassion, being kind to people, it is his choice, not ours. His to make, not ours. And we find that surprising, and we find it shocking. And some of us find that really annoying, and we disagree with it because we think it should be ours, our choice to make. Or at the very least, God should do things the way we think they should be done. But the way God does things with Jacob and Esau is his way of saying to us and showing us that he is God and we are not. And we live in his world, not in one of our own making. The fact that God chooses anyone at all, ever, the fact that he chose Jacob back then, the fact that he chooses people now, today, is only because of one thing. He chose to be compassionate when he didn't have to. He chose to have mercy when he didn't need to. We like to think that God chooses people because they're good and not bad. That's how he should do it. That's why he chose us. And this says the opposite is true. That before we were born, before we did anything good or bad, God chose us. Once you understand that, once you believe that, once you accept that, you realize that that is a very, very good thing. Because if he's doing the choosing, it's a choice that lasts forever. Well, we're going to thank God that he does it that way round, what many of us would think is the wrong way round. But rather than being annoyed by that, we would realize that is a very, very good thing. Let me lead us in a prayer. Father, we like to do things the way we think they should be done. We think we know how things should be done. And we think when it comes to you, it is our choice to make. But thank you that the birth of Jacob and Esau shows us that you do things differently. That it's not about being good or bad, but it's about you being kind and showing mercy when you don't need to. Father, we praise you that you are a God like that. Amen.